Hi, Matti. While I'm walking through Freiburg here, some more, a nice tower on the left, quite picturesque, just walked by the university, and yeah, nice place. Might be a good university place for the two of us, perhaps. I was looking at the phenomenon of light, because I have an immense distrust against the whole model which is being given of light, the concept of photons. For what I see in this model of the four-dimensional pixel which rotates inside out on itself, wherein every pixel as large as the universe, as multi-layer as everything that exists in the universe, then the model of photons as particles is historically expected, but it is logically not what can be. So I'd like to present you with some of my ideas on the way I now look at light, and photons in particularly. And the starting point for it is probably the way classical science looks at the relationship between photons, electrons, protons, and neutrons, which is... That's a tram coming by, which is basically exactly the same as what the alchemists describe. If you equate the neutron with the core of the Earth, then the proton would be the water surface, the electron would be the atmosphere, and the photon would be the stars outside. If you look at the geometry of it, then you would find that the photon corresponds to a line, the electron to a circle, an orbit. The proton would be a double-looped circle, a circle looping around the other, and the neutron would be a triple circle, looping back around itself. So basically the neutron would be equivalent with three circles which are at right angles to each other and of the same size, together forming a sphere. A proton would be a lemniscate, and the electron would be a connection of two lemniscates, basically describable by your CP2 flux funnel CP2 representation. And the photon is then a displacement or a connection of that outside of it, so it's no longer a circle, it's a line. So basically that all boils down to a geometry. As a geometry, it would be connected to the way everything in nature is organized in layers. So, looked at in that way, then the whole geometry of physics is the same as numerology, because at every time, for every level of description, we are relating to a system which operates in four dimensions. Evidently, we cannot see the four dimensions, but what we do perceive, and you call that number physics, we do see the complexity of relationships involved, which essentially boils down to the relationship between a point, a line, a triangle, and a tetrahedron. So when looked at it in that sense, geometry and numerology are intimately connected, and that of course is the essence of what is called sacred geometry, that a number system not only describes a quantity of things, but also the quality of things, that in the way items relate, they specify complexities of relationships, and thereby specific patterns of coherence. That is essentially what the Platonics of the Greek physics described. But at the moment that you look at these relationships in the way they complexify, then you can also understand what Platonic geometry does not make explicit, that in this model you have in-between states. So from a point to a line, to a plane, to a volume, which is from a point to a line to the triangle to a tetrahedron, you also have possible interfaces, interstates, which is basically what you then find in terms of the geometry of the didgeridoo player, of the atoms. Because at that level you can see that when the wavelength is in counterphase with respect to itself, then there is a region of wave cancellation which is known as the area between the atomic orbits. So the whole system of the de Broglie transformations is essentially a system of wave coherence, wave alignments, in which the wave fields are superimposing on each other and thereby reinforcing each other. And at that point, physics refers to the phenomenon as a particle, which basically means that the particle is a wave crossing or on itself or coincident with itself. I've come to take that as a general model of the whole creation of the physical universe. And then, of course, any particle is only a wave node. So we never have any doings with particles or waves, because in a wave nodes, you're dealing with waves, and the particularity of the crossing specifies what people measure as a particle. And of course, as Schrödinger already said, at the moment that we are an electromagnetic field interacting with the universe as an electromagnetic field, the interaction itself is an electromagnetic field, and the interference patterns that come out of it, known as the collapse of the vector of state, is an electromagnetic field also. So at that level, the particularity of physics can be replaced by the way wave nodes form patterns with respect to each other. And I already explained elsewhere that that is how I see that photons, electrons, protons and neutrons are actually different patterns of reincursion or hyperincursion, cycles returning back on themselves. Specifically, that a cycle in one dimension is connected to its orthogonal cycle in two planes, which is then connected to another cycle in three planes, which is where the system then forms a physical state or a space state or a standing wave in what's called space. So space is only a reverberation pattern in which three circles of the same size are interlocked with each other, that is phase locked in three different axial directions, but with a phase binding which is very explicit. And of course that can only be the case if phase lock and phase oscillation is already essence of the underlying dynamic of the fundamental pixel by which the universe can be described. That means that phase locking and phase variability and loss of phase cohesion and no phase relationship whatsoever is exactly the same as what alchemists described in referring to solid, liquid, gas and plasma. And that is what I then represent in the form of a tetrahedron, a triangle, a line or a dot, which means that the whole essence of everything that we perceive is defined only by the way that these dimensions are related to each other and how they can change phase relationship. That change of phase relationship is what people call freedom of choice, and that element of freedom of choice must be the same as the fundamental quintessence which was described by the alchemist. That means that it is precisely the same as the element of freedom of choice by which one dimension can turn into another dimension. And by the change of dimensionality, the change between space, time, energy, and pure information is then attained. So in my modeling, I don't have any need for physicality because I have enough in physicality. Physicality is just a phase space which has three orthogonal resonant bonds where three wave loops are interlocked in phase lock with respect to each other. Basically, that is a vortex which is standing in each of its four orthonormal axes. That is the vertical axis, the frontal axis, the lateral axis are locked in phase, as a result of which the vortices in those three dimensions are one interlocked and self-resonating system. As a result of that, the requirement of alchemist indeed is fulfilled, because in that case, front and rear, left and right, top and bottom are indeed the mirror image of each other. And by that, the vortex turning inside out on itself will actually mirror back on itself in its inverse space, and thereby combining right equals left, top equals bottom, front equals rear, will lead to the conclusion that as a result, inside is outside, which is the mystical experience, or also called the formulation of God. So the whole concept of religion simply disappears, and instead of that, there is now one simple formulation only, in which there is a four-dimensional vector, which is in fact a vortex, which turns inside out on itself, and in its description is the complements of itself. And that is called a hop vibration by Walter Schump. But for me, basically, it's the only equation which mathematics seems to need, which physics seems to need, which chemistry then is based on, and which we experience in our life on the world as we live it. So suddenly everything becomes very simple or very simplistic. That the whole universe is a video game in which every element of the universe is formed of these four-dimensional pixels turning inside out. All of these self-inverting pixels are, say, the screen of the video system, but they're also the software of the video system. They're also the hardware of the video system, and they're also the interaction between the system and ourselves. And so at that level, we literally are God, and there is no need to make any distinction about that. The extent to which we experience this godness, which is spelled out G for generator, O for operator, D for destroyer, and I for identity or integrity, information, integration, then that whole system, I-God, is the fundamental dynamic of those four aspects of this four-dimensional phase vector, this vortex. But in that term, in that terminology, all of what happens in the universe is only based on the braiding of the coherence of those pixels, which means that all of the stages of creation are only stages of densification of these reverberations of these vortices harmonizing or disharmonizing with themselves. And then you can also see that that's precisely what you then find in the description of hell, purgatory, paradise, and heaven, in which hell is a system in which the local pixels of that universe have no connection to any pixel next to it, which is equivalent to the system of isolation. That's what hell traditionally means. Then when you go to the next level, you can see that there is a local cohesion only, from one pixel to the next, which is enough to create an energy space, or define energy for the system, because there is a one-to-one point phase coherence, which is enough to create a determine a wave front, but it has no further capacities or potentials. It's only when you go to the next level, which is where you then have of these phase pixels connect up, that you can create the cycle, the oscillation, the reverberation, which can then feed back onto the phase fronts, the wave fronts, the energy fronts, as a result of which you can then have different qualities or quantities of energy, which is known as the four fundamental forces of physics. They're also specified in the way we experience that within ourselves as body, mind, soul, and spirit, specifically then in the relationship between spirit, soul, and mind, because mind is the time wave band of the system. And by the way, it seems that John von Neumann and Nikola Tesla understood enough of that to be able to use that in the Rainbow Project. When you then have those three points connected, and you have a time base as a result of which you can experience different forms of energy reverberating into and out of that time base cycle, then you can also understand that at the other end of it, when you bring into coherence that level again, so you have four pixels with phase coherence, that you then have phase organization, the traveling wave of time, which has a basic unity time cycle, a time base, then becomes a standing wave. But that, of course, means that the system then turns inside out on itself, because the standing wave of the system, which is a spatial waveform, then becomes a lens or a stable interface, a crystalline form on which the universe itself can inverse on itself. Because in the tetrahedron, you have three mirrors facing in on each other, and within them, they create a coherent, defined, determined phase state. They're phase locked. So within the tetrahedron, you actually have a couple of processes which were not there before. Because when you start with a point and you connect it with a line, then that line represents a duality of a feed forward and a feedback. And only when that is recursing back on itself will the line be maintained. As soon as you add that other point and create a triangle, then you have three lines, each having a feed forward and a feedback. So suddenly you have three points and six interactions, three feed forward and three feedback. But apart from that, you have a new circulation which comes up between them, which is the cycle, the circle that is formed within the triangle. And that, of course, can go in either direction. And that is, again, the basic principle as described in atomic physics. of the feed forward wave cycle and the feed back wave cycle, and only when the two are synchronized with each other that there can be an electron orbit. When they are in counter phase, then there will be no electron orbit, and there will be no triangle in this form of description. Adding another point to the system, you'll find that suddenly there is not only four points, but also that there is between all of the four points two interactions. So the number of interactions is already outgrowing the number of points, but also the number of circles between them is now equal to four, where before in the triangle there was one internal inscribed circle stabilizing the system, and now there are four inscribed circles stabilizing the system. But superimposed on that is this new element, which is this sphere, the inscribed sphere, which is circumscribed by the tetrahedron, which is then a next layer of self-stabilization, which is in fact a layer which is necessary for crystallization of phase space into physical space. But in none of this have I any need for photons, for electrons, for protons and neutrons, because as you said, this is where we don't have number mathematics, but we have number physics. In fact, in my approach, it would be number phasics. We don't even need physics at that level. So for me, it would be the other way around, that from number physics, which was described by the traditional Greeks and elaborated by Aristoteles and Plato, then you can see that mathematics is the more abstract description of that. Logic is the even more abstract description of that, because they are just the fundamental laws of mathematics without needing the machinery of the application of mathematics. But then when you go one level deeper, you see that the only thing that you need is metathematics, which is that all of these systems are of logic are in fact one logical system. That is what I've been elaborating with Roberto Renou, an astromancien, and he created out of that understanding something which he called a hypermandala, which is what I described before, the basis on which you can see that the creation of atoms and the creation of molecules instead of is in fact one vector which can oscillate at right angles to itself. So basically, that is just a phase rotation of a vortex on one of its axes. The whole basis is that you then don't need photons, you don't need electrons, you don't need protons, you don't need neutrons, because all of them are simply wave nodes and different matters of wave unbraiding, reflection, recursion, repetition. And that is what you already described. When you look at the Planck
gap,
and you look at the distance between the Planck gaps, then you see that they are related. That these phase-based particles now have specific sizes. And as you already described, these sizes are determined by the interactions that these Planck spaces, these Planck domains have with respect to themselves. That is what Nassim Haramein calls the Schwarzschild radiation, which is the radius at which the, let's call it the CP2 sphere, is defined within itself and upon itself. That means that the internal relations and the external relations can be discerned from each other, which means that you can actually discern the boundary from the field. But as soon as you can identify a boundary from a field, you can also invert them and see the field in the boundary. And then you get the same principle yet again, that the boundary and the field are the right angle formulations of themselves, and thus also the right angle or the dual formulations of each other. There's lots of music in town here. So for me then, the particularity of physics is basically a consequence of the mathematics of the superposability, the way the multiplicities in which you can superimpose phase wave fields. And because I'm only dealing with phase waves, I actually do not need any physicality for this. Evidently, we are dealing with the physicality in the world that we live in. But when we understand that this reality is only a realization, then we can use the metaphor of what we find in the body, that the anatomy is in fact a result of the physiology. The physiology is only consequential to a specific balance of the regulatory system of the system interfacing with its context, that the interfacing actually takes place on the interface by interfacing, by phase changing within that boundary, and that at that level the singularities of the system boundary determine the state, the status, and the coherence and cohesion of that specific system as a field. That is where I described that the health of the body as a whole can be reduced to one parameter only, and that this is a fractal by which the system singularity sets of all the cell divisions are connected. You can start with the first cell dividing, because then you can find that every division is a decision, and that all the decisions are ongoing within the changing context, but thereby also trace the responses to the context into our system, which is precisely what we find in the reflex system, but also what we see in the creation, the formation of the DNA. In the DNA, you find that there is around the cell a system of four proteins. The sensor protein, which is basically a rod, an antenna, charging or discharging the electromagnetic field. The portal protein, which is a ring or a ring molecule, which is basically a capacity of extending or contracting, which is minimally changing its orbital radius or its orbital resonance, which is in fact the same principle as you find in the atomic orbits. So at the moment that the portal protein changes its circumference ever so slightly, then it means that it will go into a totally different filtration system, a filter system, and can in fact filter on basis of its wavelength, which is also a time base, and go into interference or destructive interference even with the processes of the environment that it connects up to. So all of this is always defined in terms of the resonance of the circulation of, say, the ring molecule of the protein, of the portal protein as it's called, with respect to the system that it forms part of. And that resonance is like the atomic resonance. Compare that to the sensor protein, which is a rod. Then you can see that that is where you can actually have a transformation by change of oscillation of that rod. That evidently is what you then find in the linking protein. And the linking protein in that sense combines the characteristic of all of the hormones and enzymes of the body. On the one hand, a rod, so that it can accept, capture, but also release, dispel vibrations into and from the universe, and the ring molecule, which is able to store and also discharge vibrations. Compare this also to the descriptions of Nikola Tesla of the radiant field. Compare this also to the description of Wilhelm Reich of the orgones. Compare it also to the Tesla field as described by John Bedini, because he says that it's essentially the same as we find in the body. And then you can see that the combination of the ring molecule and the rod molecule is fundamentally the equivalent of having an atom relating to a molecule, which I described before. The atom, based on a radial vector of layers of resonant spheres, and the molecules based on a concatenation of sphere resonance. So all of it boils down to one simple principle. And then from the linking protein in the DNA, which basically captures the information of the sensor protein plus the information of the portal protein, thus the rod and the ring, it then is able to turn that inside out and bring it from the linking protein to the DNA mantle protein. And the DNA mantle protein is, so to say, a ring connected to a rod. And just to make it a simplistic picture, it is as if that rod then writes all of our experience of life as captured by the ring and writes it into the DNA. It adds patterns to the DNA, like an inkjet printer. So you can see that the relationship between the sensor protein and the portal protein is by the linking protein, which can be compared like a ring and a rod in combination. And then when you extend that idea further, you can see that the coupling between the linking protein and the DNA mantle protein is a bit like that of a shaver transformer. There's two rings which respond to the variation of the context, and then the rods relay the changes of the information. So in that sense, we then have a very simplistic and very complex principle which describes how we add information into the DNA of our body. But it's that same principle which we also see in the brain, of course in an inverted form, but in a totally correlated form, because that is where we then see how exactly the same principle leads to an interplay between the equivalent of the sensor protein, which is the forebrain, the portal protein, which is the connection to the spinal cord in the rear brain, with the linking protein, which would be the photon charge field in the around the pineal gland, which then leads to an inscription of the changes of the relationship between the frontal brain and the rear brain, that is the changes between the world image and the body image, and writes that into the memory banks of the midbrain. It means that in the midbrain we have the equivalent of the creation of the DNA spiral, and then we can see how in the midbrain the information is temporarily compressed. It's this needle writing the vibrations, the change of vibrations of the oscillation of the ring, and inscribes that into the midbrain as in the creation of a hologram image. And that is, of course, why we then have this dimensional compression, that in the continuous cycling of writing added information into the midbrain, out of the differences of the similarity of the front brain and the rear brain, then the coded pattern of the midbrain is basically a DNA spiral, but represented as a hologram plane image. And that is also why we can, in our body, capture memories of the past, or store memories of the past, or relive memories of the past, on the simple reason that it is a hypermandala, it's a holographic image in which new information is always added, and only the changes of information are necessary to add new information. So any change of experience will always be a variation to the already existing hologram, which means that a minimal amount of information will suffice to encode lots of information. In fact, that is a principal pattern which we also see in our whole body, which I call the muscle puppet, because you can see that muscles can only contract, but muscles around bones always come in pair. One will pull where the other will not pull,
The movement of the body is only which side of the bone will the muscles pull at. And that then determines the movement of the body. But it means that the extension of an arm or a leg, or the charging or discharging of an organ, the activation or disactivation of a neural pathway, the charging up or discharging of a brain cell, it's always based on the same pattern that you need. You only need a switch. So you need a switch to say from the core out at the first level, which will be that of spheroidal orientation. Which direction will it go? At the next level out, which will be two spheres superimposed on each other, turning one way, turning the other. Which preponderance will there be? At the third level, which is the extension of movement, which would be equivalent to the acceleration. What kind of spin will it be, inward or outward? And at the fourth level, will it be contained by the local system or not? Will it go to the next level? And then when it goes to the next level, for example, it will go from the brain to the spinal cord, from the spinal cord to the longer reflex arc, from the longer reflex arc to the extended reflex arc of the periphery of the body, and the other way around. Sensations, when they come in, they will, for example, the genital simulations, they will first go into the genital system, then they go from the genital system to the spinal cord, then they will go from the spinal cord to the brainstem, and then they will go from the brainstem to the brain as a whole, which is exactly the same pattern as we see in the sensory system, in which the impulse goes from the point to the line, to the plane, to the volume, and transmitting information from the sensor cell to the neuron, to the neural plexus, to the brain, which is the equivalent of having a transition from zero dimension to one dimension, to three dimension, to two dimensions, to three dimensions, which is exactly the same as the transition from a Dirac pulse to a Fourier train, a Fourier code, to a Moiré array, a planar hologram, to a Gabor hologram, a volume, which, as Carl Pribram described, is the essence of the way our whole body functions. So again, we come down to the formulation of the functioning of the body as a whole. It is based on a hologram, in fact four holograms interacting with each other, and then the only system that is required to determine the transitions and translation between them is how these vortices in their four directions, front, rear, left, right, top, bottom, when that in their combinations, they can then flip inside out. And that is why we can experience the outside world within us. Because as you know, all of the sensors of the body are at the service of the body. So none of them are actually part of the world around us. So the world around us is only an image that we create of variations that we perceive at the surface of the body. But that doesn't mean that that's actually how it happens. It could be a totally inverse image. We could be in a holodeck image, or a hologram environment, such as was portrayed in the film The Matrix, because whatever sensations we have on the surface of the body, it will contain an integral picture. Our body, brain, mind, soul, spirit will actually create a hologram meaningfulness out of it, by the same principle as that we use for cellular, for body digestion, for metabolism in the body. But the dynamic of metabolism of the body is actually based on the dynamic of cell replication, which is a cell cycle. And the cell cycle is based on the physics, the mathematics, the logic of cell division, which you would call the relationship between two CP2 spheres related by a flux funnel. And in the approach that I use, the CP2 spheres would be the objects, the flux funnel would be the relationship between them, and that can in fact be inverted. So you can actually topologically move those spheres closer to each other. In fact, even fold them around each other, because all of them can turn inside out. So there is this fourth dimension which always needs to be included in the picture. But that comes back to the starting point for my exploration. It's wonderful to be able to think that out loud with you, because not many people who can have the kind of understanding which is required for working at this level of symbols. But at that level of description, I don't need photons, and so I'm basically not helped by the whole particularity of particle physics. I find myself much more at ease in making use of something like the wave nodes instead of particles, because immediately and automatically I get waves as part of the description of the particles, but also inclusive of that I can see that there is a shift of the relationship of waves which is actually defining the particle. And as a result, I can thus also see that the complexity of the wave interaction determines the stability of that specific wave node. So I find it much easier to look at the wave nodes as such, as a consequence of the interaction of waves, because all I need then is to define what a wave is and where it comes from, and for that I need only one element, which is a logical element, which is a four-dimensional point, a Gabor point, turning inside out on itself. Well, I can imagine that you might prefer to listen to this a couple of times to get the overall image. But in fact, all the images which I call up in the mind are basic principles which we know from how our body works, and from how we work with our mind, and how we were in a realization of reality. And that, of course, is the essence of it all, that we no longer need to describe reality. Because that's just a mode of collapse of the vector of state, and the consequence of how we relate to the environment around us. So that can actually be brought down to the relationship itself, which is, so to say, the flux funnel, which is that vortex turning inside out on itself. So all of the universe as a whole is just one pixel mirrored in itself, and we just have a wonderful opportunity to exercise our freedom of choice in this hologram, this video game, this environment which people call Earth.